This is because this is a public meeting. And so you want to be like,
Oh, you're fine.
Smile, you're on candid camera.
I mean, this off because I would be that one person who has an obnoxious ringtone. All right. Do I have to? I can't remember. Do I have to officially open the meeting? Okay. I call interview committee B, team B meeting to order. I'll take attendance. Andy Ruff.
Here.
Isabel Piedmont Smith.
Here.
Courtney Daly. Here. Right. Well, hi. Thank you for being here with us today. So, as you heard, I guess we'll just go and introduce ourselves officially. I'm Courtney Daly. I represent District 5 on City Council.
Okay.
I'm Isabel Piedmont Smith, District 1.
And I'm Andy Ruff. I'm at large.
So, you are here today for the Commission on the Status of Women interview. I saw that you applied for
I
that.
did.
And that was the only application that you put in, right? It looks like.
I put in one for the bike commission too,
Oh,
for
okay.
the
Which
walker
does not exist
commission.
any
Yeah.
longer.
Well, then
That's
never
why it did
mind.
not reflect. So, okay. Yeah. We
That explains why
actually.
nobody contacted me.
Did not get rejected.
It's just
I can't do all the committees
not
anyway.
there. We only have so much time in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you for applying for
Of
that.
course. I mean, I live right on the Beeline Trail, so I was like, please.
Yeah, so they actually, we've created a new committee now. We rolled several into one for the transportation committee. So it absorbed a couple different ones.
Yeah.
But we're going to just go ahead and ask you some questions just to kind of get a feel for your standing on the Commission on the Status of Women. We have one vacancy right now.
Okay.
So I guess, first and foremost, what made you apply?
Yeah, well, we live in super fun, interesting times, and I firmly believe in being a helper in my community. And so, I believe that we are all have limited energy and resources in our time and our days, but we should put our energy where we feel it's most needed or where we would be the most useful. And this is one place I feel like I am very passionate about it and could be of help.
How long have you been in Bloomington?
2 years.
And what do you see in particular issues that affect women and I mean, anything particular to Bloomington or generally that needs to still be worked on?
Those are two very different questions.
Yes.
I haven't noticed anything in Bloomington per se, no. I did live before here. I just moved here from Utah and I experienced a lot more women's issues in my day-to-day, which is just another reason I feel very passionately about it. And in general, I feel like it's one of those things that just continue. We need continual guidance there and we need continual help. I think some things happened in like the 1970s and people think that, oh, well, feminism happened and we did solve that. Thank you so much. And there's a lot of underlying things that are not being addressed. And for instance, in Bloomington, we do experience a large amount of homelessness and it's very prevalent and obvious to see. And something that I'm a big advocate for discussing is one of the reasons when you see women, particularly who are homeless, they are often leaving places that where they are being abused. And that is something that we can help, right? We can't solve the homeless crisisness, but we can talk about what are some of the factors that are leading to homelessness and what are the resources we can create in order to help those people.
So by solving one issue, you might be solving multiple.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Carrie Stillions, who is actually on the Commission for the Status of Women, is the director of Meadoway House,
Yeah.
our domestic violence shelter.
I
So
think that's
there's
one of,
definitely that connection
yeah.
is there.
Yeah, I think that's one of our greatest resources in our neighborhood, and including what's the shelter that's specifically for families, the
New
New
Hope. New
Hope?
Hope, yeah.
Gosh, I just think that that's one of the greatest resources that we have. Like it was so cool because I live literally across the street from them, and it's cool to see something that saw, okay, we need to have childcare and we need to have a playground and we need to have homing for people who are in between, and they just build a void, and that's really awesome.
Yeah,
Our success.
absolutely. It's great. Andy, did you have a question?
Well, I'm just sort of interested. You said that situations was a little different where you came from, Utah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would bring with you from your experience there that you think could be, I don't mean uniquely because unique is, yeah, but could be maybe something that would really be an addition to what a person who maybe had just sort of experienced more Bloomington might, yeah, see women's issues and might see this role in the commission?
Right. Well, what I'll say to that is I feel that sexism exists in the same way that racism exists. We learned a while ago how to hide it in plain sight, right? And so now that the words and how we discuss it, you know, people won't say, oh, I'm not giving you this job because you're a woman. They'll come up with other reasons to not give you a job, right? And I think having that perspective and understanding that when we're trying to address women's issues, we have to be addressing the enemies that are hiding in plain sight. Enemies, not, it's not the right word, but the issues in plain sight and how that's affecting our women in our community, right? And to know that even though someone may not come directly out and say, well, I'm not giving you this housing because you are a woman, understanding all of the factors that they may put up as barriers and how that could disproportionately affect women is important.
And childcare is a big part of that, yes, as well.
Childcare.
Lack of affordable.
Well, right, affordable options for childcare. And then also, we all know here that the way jobs pay, a single income is not enough to typically live on in a community. And again, women are disproportionately affected, not only because of how women's pay works in the world, but also work that is deemed men's work or women's work. And again, no one's using those terms, but I work in an industry and in a job that is specifically predominantly female. And that is reflected in our pay, and it's reflected in the language that is used to discuss our work. And all of those are factors that go into us, and people may be doing it without even realizing that that's the language that they're engaging in. They may not realize the underlying misogynistic tones or outcomes that they are creating when they are deeming one job better than another based off of who would predominantly own that job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's alive and well, those kind of attitudes, unfortunately. So how familiar are you with the commission's purpose and maybe some of the past work?
I'm not very familiar with it, I'll be honest. Okay. But I did go to the Women's Luncheon last year, and that was amazing. And it was really fun. I do a lot of work at the Glass Center. And so I've learned a lot about the community through Abby Gitlitz. Yeah.
Went to college with Abby.
Yeah. And so she's the one who invited me to the luncheon and has been putting me in contact with other members of the community, essentially. Yeah.
Very cool. Another cool thing in our neighborhood, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other questions, either of you?
So just generally kind of wondering about your, you know, typical day in the life of you.
Okay.
You know, your time.
And... Yeah. Oh, I mean, well, so I'm the costume shop manager at IU Theater. And so my day-to-day job is 9 to 5. I oversee the graduate and undergraduate students in the costume shop. And then I do work as a volunteer for Abby, and I'm an apprentice. So that typically is once a month I go and I work a 4-hour shift. And if I can take up more, I typically do, only because I firmly believe in my community. I believe that if I am here, the best use I can be is in my community. It's all well and good to spend my money to give out to national organizations that help us, but you are the people that I will see in my neighborhood. I know that the dollars I spend and the time I spend in my community does directly come back to me in many ways. And so as my husband and I, we bought a house in the area, and we both just feel like we love Bloomington and we love being here, and I want to help.
Right. I had another question. So have you been on other, like, maybe before you got to Bloomington, have you been on other community organizations with people from different perspectives, walks of life, you know, working with people with different points of view, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So before Utah, before here, I spent 13 years in Washington, D.C. And I was in The community I chose at that time was Montgomery County Roadrunners Club. And it's the largest Roadrunners Club in America. And so we have about something like 8,000 people who are involved in that community.
Wow.
And it's Washington, D.C., so many different backgrounds, political beliefs, socioeconomic, and it was great. Yeah.
So you were part of the leadership that coordinated things.
It was. Yeah. So I was predominantly a race director, but I also did their social media because I was young and in my 20s and understood Instagram.
Yes, groups tend to just give that to young people. Assuming
you get this, you know it.
No.
Yeah, so I think then just how do you deal with, you know, working with different perspectives, you know, especially when it's issues that people are passionate about? How do those different perspectives kind of color your directions?
So I went to undergrad in Washington, D.C., and I went to American University. It is considered the most politically active campus in all of America. And something I learned there was learning how to disagree politely and learning how to have conversations with people who you don't agree with ideologically at all, and still having respect for that person and still understanding that what they're bringing to the table and their experience may have led them to that belief system. I also do not believe that any belief system is changed when you attack it. Mm-hmm. I think that we change minds when we show empathy and compassion and when we try to understand where we're all coming from.
Yeah.
You know, I think right now we live in a very politically divisive time. I think a lot of battles people are choosing are dividing us further. And a lot of them at the core, I firmly believe all people want to do their best and they want to live in a good world. And I think we have a lot of different ideas of what that looks like. And the only time where I find it intolerable is if your worldview does not allow for another person's existence, which I feel like is a good line to draw.
Yeah.
It's fair. Yeah. Everybody deserves to exist. Everybody deserves their opinion, even when their opinion stinks. Like, even if your opinion hurts somebody, like, you are still technically entitled to it. You know, you might want to think about how you express that and how you might be affecting other people, but it is you're allowed to have opinions that are unpopular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was all of my questions. Did anybody else have any?
Yeah, it's great that you've just been here 2 years and you're so committed to the community and place and you're part in it.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, I'm so in love with Bloomington. I think that we are doing amazing. Our library is out of this world. Like, all the different things we have there are so incredible. And I just think we're so lucky that we do live in a city that has lots of different viewpoints, and that I think our city is working really hard to try to support those people and make a beautiful little city here.
Yes, I agree. My husband had to drag me kicking and screaming to Indiana, and now he laughs because since we settled in Bloomington, he has to drag me kicking and screaming from Indiana.
Yeah.
I told him I'm not leaving Bloomington. No, exactly.
No, I was headhunted. I was poached from my job in Utah. And when I was interviewing, I was like, Indiana was never on my list of even a place to visit. And now that I'm here, I was like, oh no, this is awesome. I'm like, you could not tell other people, that'd be great.
Right.
I love the cost of living so much.
Sure.
Salt Lake City. I was working as the costume director at the Utah Opera.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
On my very first day of employment, I was told to not hire anybody expecting children.
Wow.
Hey.
That's fun.
Oh, yeah.
It is very illegal.
Jeez.
Yeah. So one of the many areas, and after being there for 2 years, as you can imagine, if that's your first day of work, it doesn't get better from that.
At first taste.
Yeah, and if that was the head honcho, the number one person in charge there, and it's like, if that's their belief system, it doesn't get better from that step. And I was just like, oh, I can't be in Utah. It's like, I can't work for people who feel that way, who think that way. You know, it's every person who is pregnant's decision whether or not they choose to continue work. And if they want to, as their employer, the only thing I can do is support them and help them find, you know, ways to get them through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh.
So, but as far as cost of living, you came from Montgomery County.
Wow,
and
yeah.
That's
the highest cost of living in the country.
Which side of DC is that on? North, south, east, west?
That is northwest, like Bethesda area and out.
That's where my husband's from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is for the most expensive county in the entire country.
Oh, this seems like a Bloomingtonian to me.
But Montgomery County is like on my radar is doing very good things for housing and homelessness.
Yes.
So
and I worked for
they the, have some, you know, they're doing some good stuff with all that expense.
And I worked for the Gaithersburg Parks and Rec out there for a while.
Oh, okay.
So my husband has ties to the IU Theater because, well, he's a theater person. He runs Indie Fringe now.
Oh, okay.
In Indianapolis. But we haven't really been close with the theater since like the pandemic. We never quite resumed. But we used to go every year, season tickets, every show. We always knew all the actors. He got his master's there 10 years ago.
Okay.
After having gotten his undergrad.
Many years ago.
But yeah, we always know a few of the actors there from like local productions and whatnot.
So. You just missed Legally Blonde.
Oh,
it closed on Saturday.
I was really mad because I meant to go see the one in January. It was the Shakespeare that was busted.
Yes.
Yeah. We lived in New York for a long time, and our old coworker, her daughter is now in grad school, and she was starring in it.
Oh,
and I mean, I knew this little girl when she was two.
Yeah, is this Isabel?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen her since she was like two or three, but we meant to go see it and failed miserably. So, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Do you have any questions for us?
Oh, yeah. Do you have any questions for us?
Yeah. Tell me, like, so what is expected of committee members?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. Well, they have monthly meetings, and they probably have more meetings leading up to Women's History Month. They have some, you know, awards that they give out. So they probably have subcommittees to, you know, evaluate the nominations and things like that. But I was actually on the website, and they haven't updated like their recent meetings. So I'm not sure what they're focusing on. And I was just trying to find while we were talking. I know they gave us an annual report, didn't they? A few weeks ago.
Yes, they did.
So, right. My apologies. I just didn't do my homework. But yeah, in general, so it'd be a minimum of one meeting a month and then, you know, helping with their events, which are mainly in March. Cool. So.
And how many members are on the committee?
I think there are nine. Check.
There are four, nine.
Nice.
Yeah, so
they're
pretty active. They're doing some impressive stuff. So
and I'm sure that opened the initiative for new ideas too.
I always have ideas.
That's my thing. I got that sense. I got the sense that you were.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So,
thank you.
Clerk Crossley, have you already explained the next steps to her?
No, that's the next steps. So,
sorry,
the next steps.
You
no, you're totally fine. So, the next steps is this interview committee will make a recommendation to the full council at a regular session meeting. And when they do, you know, whether it's you or somebody else, we will be in contact with you no matter what.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't want to leave people hanging. So you'll hear from me either way.
Okay.
So I would expect you would hear back from us probably after the, I would say in about maybe a, give us about a week and a half, and we'll contact you.
Okay.
And of course, if you have any other questions, just feel free to email me and let me know.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Great.
Nice to meet you.
So nice to meet all of you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for applying and for spending time with us and all your work.
Happy to.
Yes. Enjoy the rest of this Wednesday. Hopefully, it's
nice out there.
It's warm out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see Pride and Prejudice in the movie theaters.
Nice.
Oh. There's a new Pride and Prejudice.
It's not. It's the 2005 one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they've re-released it because it's the 20th anniversary or 20th or 25th.
The end of that?
I've never seen it and I've been wanting to.
Now's a good time. If you want to see it on a big screen, can see the hand flex.
Because that's the one, with Matt the McFadden, right?
Yes. I love him. Yeah. And Keira Knightley. Yeah. And the boiled potatoes meme that was very into. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Nice to meet you again.
So, right.
Why can I not find that annual report?
Wow. Oh.
Sorry, we have our next person is ours, but we're just finding it.
Okay. Great. And Anne is joining us. She also has class at 6.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, Anne. How are
Hi.
You?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having
my
me.
My name is Courtney Daly, City Council Representative for District 6. And I'll let everybody else introduce
District
themselves.
District 5.
I said 6. I have no idea why I said 6. I know it's 5. That was weird.
You're so...
Okay, I'll never be confident again.
I'm Isabel Piedmont Smith, City Council District 1.
And I'm Andy Ruff. I'm at large on the council.
Pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
Well, we appreciate you being here today. So I'm going to go ahead and just kick us off with some questions. Thank you for your patience and waiting for us to wrap up the previous interview. So just right off the bat, I guess, what made you apply?
Well, my colleagues at IU recommended that I seek something within the city and the community because they felt that I am, you know, a forward thinker and I work very well with others. And they knew that I am new to the area. I bought a house and moved in over Labor Day. And so I really wanted to get involved in my new community. And so my colleagues were the ones that recommended this to me.
Fabulous.
Good. Glad that they're spreading the word.
Sounds like they
the
know
good
you
word.
Well then too.
Did they recommend this commission specifically or just applying to city boards and commissions to serve?
Well, my one colleague recommended that I apply to city boards and see what shakes out. But the ladies, Val Pena is my director, and she reports to Michael Huber, who's the vice president of university relations. And they thought that this area would be best for me because I'm so, you know, pro woman and that type of thing. So they said that would be probably your best match. And then, ironically enough, you called. So here we are.
and you teach civics and government, yes?
That's correct. I would not say that I teach, well, I taught for 30 years in okay. Michigan as a professor of communications and human sexuality. And then I moved down here during COVID and accepted a position at IU. Now, prior to IU, I did a couple years with the American Legion headquarters in Indy, and I was their forward-facing person for flag etiquette. So all the media, newspapers, television, that sort of thing, to talk about basically what it says in the flag code, because people don't know. And so that was my job, as well as administrating their $2 million worth of scholarships. So that was primarily an office position, but I worked on the committees for education and such. And then IU reached out because they have a position with the Center on Representative Government to create civics programs for primarily middle schoolers, but it can go up to high school as well. And it was the first ever virtual reality history and civics experience. So instead of teaching from a textbook, you put the glasses on and you go back in time to that event and you meet a variety, a diversity of different people who are living through that experience and talk to them and do activities with them about what it feels like to be in that time. So you
wow.
talk about an exciting project. Yeah. Except
cool.
there's an except.
Uh-oh.
We got doged. Yeah. So we got doged. And so that put me on, it was going to put me on the RIF list, which I could be transferred to a different department, but I decided to reach out and do a little searching on my own just to see what was out there. And so I'm happy to say I have secured the position of training for all of INDOT. So I will be developing all of the training programs, facilitating the training programs, et cetera, for INDOT. So that is
wow.
leadership as well as safety. Yeah.
Okay.
And I still teach as well. I teach for IU Columbus and Ivy Tech and my alma mater, Grand Valley State University, going on 30 years.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear you landed well. I'm sorry you got doged.
Yeah. I am too, but you know, a lot of people got doged, and I think I ended up better than a lot of them, because a lot of them were just told you have 15 minutes to clear out your office and that's the end. Whereas we were given 120 days. And so we were able to sort of wrap up our first module, which was Philadelphia 1787, and get that wrapped up. So at least we have something to offer the students. And it was really fun to go to conferences all over the nation and present it and teach teachers how to use this in their classroom. And it was just a really exciting project. So I will stay on a consultant type position, because I am so well trained now in the civics and the government education that, you know, they said, we'll just keep you on as a consultant. So that's where we're at.
Fascinating. Wow.
And with your NDOT job, will you stay living in Bloomington?
Oh, yeah. They said I can be working out of the Bloomington office, which is by the big garage on Arlington off of the expressway. So it's basically right by Bloomington North. So that's 5 miles from my house, which is even more perfect. So, yeah, one day a week I might go to Indy just to make sure my boss knows I'm alive. But for the most part, I'll be stationed right out of Bloomington.
Oh, good.
Super.
So you've been in Bloomington less than a year then?
That is correct. Prior, when I moved down here, during COVID, I think it was one of those existential crises that occur. I don't know if it was a midlife thing or it was my daughters. They were graduated from college and they said, we want to move to Chicago. And I said, you know, okay, we can do that. So I moved down to Chicago. And then I just thought, why am I still here? My whole family is in Southern Indiana. So I moved down, and I don't know if you're familiar with Coal City. Probably not, because nobody is, but it's halfway between Bloomington and Terre Haute, and it's just sort of middle of nowhere, Owen County. And I moved into the cabin on the lake at the family farm, and was a farmer for 4 years. And so I finally decided I just wanted to be closer to work. And I did miss suburbia a little bit, because sometimes I like to leave the house and just go grab something a couple miles away. And that was not an option, you know, where I was. It was a little bit lonely. So I just love where I am in Bloomington.
Great. Well, do you either in your where you lived previously or in Bloomington, do you see any particular issues affecting women that you'd like to work on?
Well, Owen County is its whole story. So we won't even talk about that. But I have felt, okay, now I'm coming from Grand Rapids, Michigan. So that is considered a very conservative, family-friendly sort of mid-sized town. And, you know, it's close to Grand Haven, to the beach. And it was a wonderful place to raise my girls. But I always felt that there was not really equal opportunities there for women. Now, I was in academia, so there was a little bit more so there, but all of the boards and all, you know, everyone, it was male. And I just thought, you know, for my girls, I was glad that they were going to a bigger city so that maybe they could have some more opportunities. And when I moved to Bloomington, especially since, you know, I have a female director, female colleagues, I was quite pleased with, you know, what I saw, but I think there's always room, you know, isn't there? There's always room. If we're not evolving, we're static. And so there's always room to find more opportunities and to listen to more folks about what they feel, what they want, what they need. And so for me, it's been great and actually refreshing, but there's always more. And when you're in an environment that is welcoming to that, not only is that new for me, but that's an environment that I feel I could really thrive in, you know, even just doing listening sessions, things like that, communication sessions, and hearing what people have to say. So I do bring a fresh or new perspective, but no real hard lines. You know, I want to learn from everyone, you know, from everyone on the commission, from everyone I talk to. And so listening and learning is sort of what I bring to the table. And then when I see things that go together or that can happen, that's when I would want to come forward, you know, and say something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
How familiar are you with the commission, the commission's purpose and their any of their past work, if at all?
Well, being developed in 1973 to take a look at exploring women's issues and concerns, celebrating women's accomplishments, promoting solutions to problems and challenges, and ensuring economic, political, government, education, social development, and justice. So what is on the website is what I am very familiar with. And I can read and research. In fact, I'm a total nerd. And so if you give me something to research and let me go, I will just do a really deep dive. But my colleague said that it is a very good commission to be on, and that there are several longstanding members, and that it is, you know, something that I would fit into just because of my sort of casual, friendly, but very proactive approach to things. And so if you want something done, you tell me, you consider it done. You know, you don't ever have to ask me twice to do something. And there's no task that I would consider below myself. You know, everything that needs to be done needs to be done. And I am more than willing to get that done. So that is what I know about the commission.
Great. Good. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah, I'm wondering, you said you're going to be starting a job with NDOT.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to have some connections with NDOT over an issue years ago. I'm wondering if you see the potential for some invigorating or exciting, I don't know, informing of each direction between the commission, Bloomington's commission on staff women, and NDOT, which is a conservative agency with a lot of, I think, a lot of testosterone possibly in that agency. Do you see maybe there's a potential for some cross informing of in your roles in each from this appointment on the commission?
Yes, and I like that because I think it is two really different environments. And the funny thing is, even my own family down here does not know my political leaning. And I mean, we are together a lot and they talk a lot about politics, but they don't know my politics, they don't know my religion, because to me, you know, when you sort of take a stand at one thing, people may fear to speak to you and to really tell their truth. And so I like to be that chameleon that you put me someplace, I will fit in, but I will also really see, hey, what's going on here? What's going on there? How can we make this better, you know? So I do see that it's different environments, but you know, that dialectic tension can really create some ideas, and being able to work in that environment and then, you know, work at IU, which is very liberal, you know, be able to do all of that and work with all the folks so that they're all comfortable with talking to me. I think that I like that, because that means that I can get more information and better enable change.
Thank you for your response. Mm-hmm. Just questions for her, from her, for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any questions for us?
Well, I want to know why you love being on the commission. And if you're not on this particular commission, what you like about the commission or the board that you are on. So you serve. Tell me what you love about that.
That's a good question. None of us are on this commission. So I serve on, well, for example, currently I'm serving on the Jack Hopkins committee. So is Andy. So what this committee does is we deal with grant funding for social service organizations. There's a big, big grant pool of money every year. And we're actually in the middle of right now going through the applications to see which social service organizations within our community we're going to be able to help assist with funding. And so I was on this committee last year as well. I love serving on this because it feels, you know, really nice to be able to help these very important organizations who are doing a lot of important work, helping our community be able to continue doing the work that we need them to do. And I think we're facing some upcoming challenges right now where we need them more than ever. Which has made this year's grant allocations so much more difficult.
Yeah. And being grant funded now is very scary. And I think people are terrified of, you know, getting the local version of Doge or whatever it is. You know, I think they're really scared. But I have been so impressed by the programs that I've seen in Bloomington. Just wow. Wow. I thought Grand Rapids had some good programs, but Bloomington takes it to a different level. And I think that's something you should be so proud of.
Yeah, I mean, we're all on the city council. That's our primary role. Andy and I are both native to Bloomington, and I think, you know, giving back is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Serving the community that nurtured us. I don't want to speak for you, Andy.
No, but I feel exactly that way. I feel fortunate to have grown up here, and I'd like to give some of that back.
Yeah. I would like to give back to the community that welcomed me so nicely. I mean, it has just been fantastic. Since I moved here, everyone has just been amazing, from the neighbors to people on Kirkwood, you know, just walking around during lunch, and everyone has been incredibly welcoming. And I have absolutely made the right choice to move to Bloomington, because, you know, I looked everywhere from Spencer to Ellettsville to Bloomington, and I'm really happy I landed where I did, because what an amazing community. I feel so privileged to live within it.
Awesome. Well, that's a good note to end on, maybe.
Yeah, I had no more questions. Did you or either of you have any more?
No, except is the lake on your farm, your family's place, that was an old strip pit lake?
Yes, a strip pit, and you get to jump in and swim, and, you know, I just wait, the crickets, the orchestra at night, the beauty. I would have the cabin windows open, and oh my goodness, talk about sleep well. So that is the one thing I miss, is just all of the nature. Like, I've been rabidly planting in my lawn and around, just trying to bring out the nature of the whole thing, because I love being outside, and I love, you know, I come from a farming family, so we're very much into the earth and sustaining it and using it. And it was a strip pit, and boy, what a beautiful, I know that it's a terrible thing what they did, but think about it, like, all the strip pits now are these beautiful lakes that people can enjoy, and the geese come and the birds and the frogs and everyone. And so it turned out really well from a disaster.
Silver lining.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for applying and for taking the time to meet with us today. We really are grateful to you for that.
Nice to meet you.
Well, I'm so happy that you had me. And if you do not believe that I belong on this commission, I would ask that you pass me along if you could, because I really am dedicated to serving. And as much as this is my first choice, I always seem to land where I'm supposed to be. And so if I'm supposed to be someplace, that's where I'll be. But if not with you, I still definitely want to serve, because this is my new home.
Excellent. That's great. Yeah, unfortunately, we only have one spot right now. But I see you applied to other commissions as well. So
I just, I checked the boxes because my colleague Kirk White, he's been a Bloomington guy for his entire life and served on multiple things. He's like, now don't box yourself in. If you're interested, just check it and you'll end up where you're supposed to be. So I go, well, okay, I got this sounds, I did not want to box myself in and I just ran with the where I end up is where I'm supposed to be and where I will serve to my very best of my ability. So I am highly reliable and have the time on my hands. The girls are out of the house and thriving in Chicago. So I'm very proud of them for moving to a city, not knowing a single person with no jobs and just making it their home and becoming successful there. So now I can relax and do my own thing, which is the old empty nest. So it's going well. So thank you very much. And I hope you have a good rest of your evening.
You too.
Thank you. I was going to say really quick, the only thing else I would add is, so the committee here, the interview committee will deliberate. They'll make their full recommendation to the full council. And the full council votes on all of the appointments for the city's boards and commissions. And then either way, whether you're appointed or not, you'll hear back from us because we don't want to leave you hanging. So I would just say give us about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, and you'll be hearing from us soon.
Fantastic. So I look forward to it and talk to you soon. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Good evening. Now the only thing
that's
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For today. Awesome.
Because remember you interviewed Cheryl Langdon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have three applicants for one seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I did just look. So Anne also applied for Bloomington Urban Enterprise mm-hmm. Association, and there mm-hmm. is a council vacancy there.
Oh, okay. So I was going to.
The only thing with that one
uh-oh.
Is
there's another.
It thing. Is you have to be of opposing political party, and I believe you have to live in Zone 2, and like a business owner and a merchant for that area. That's the unicorn right now.
Yeah. So that's a tough. One.
Yeah,
that's a tough.
Yep, she did apply for a CDBG of advisory committee, and there's several.
Those are available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we could
mm-hmm.
send a note,
mm-hmm.
recommend.
And I do meet with the deputy mayor tomorrow to go over some things with boards and commissions. So depending on either way, honestly, I was thinking that I would just let her know that, this person definitely wants to be active and involved in some type of way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because I had noted before mm-hmm. we even started the interviews how many everybody had applied for, and mm-hmm. CC only applied, I saw, for this one, and mm-hmm. Anne had a few. I mean, I liked them both a lot.
Yeah.
I think
they're
they
both
would,
really good.
I think they would both be wonderful fits.
Yeah.
I feel that CC was maybe a little more specific with some of her views on the status of women.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we have an opportunity, we don't have an opportunity to put her elsewhere, but we do have an opportunity to give Anne a seat elsewhere. So,
right.
Yeah, I feel like Anne's energy would be good just about wherever.
Mm-hmm. I think she'd be a great energy in any of the
But I do agree
spaces.
That CC's really focused and good for this commission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Do I have a nomination?
I will move that we recommend the appointment of CC Swalling to Commission on the Status of Women.
Second.
Seat number C1.
Third.
And Pete Monsman?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Okay.
But then if we could follow up with Anne. You said you're meeting with
you
the mayor's office.
Yes.
Thank you.
Tomorrow.
That would be wonderful.
So I'll let them know because there's quite a few vacancies that they have too that I kind of made notes on last week so I can meet with Deputy Mayor Knapp, because I know she was out of the office last week. So tomorrow I'll meet with her and go over that and just let her know she comes highly recommended.
Great. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and Jennifer, thank you for your highly efficient coordinating, administering this whole process.
I like this.
You
this
saved,
is the best
part of my job. Yeah, you've saved us, I think, by being so organized.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
And then as per Clerk Crossley's notes, we have two other commissions we need to look at. So we have a vacancy on the CAPS Commission. Again, we only have one application right now. So I don't know if we want to.
I have all the Transportation Commission as
well. Yes, I went through those as well.
Let's see, CAPS.
I don't know if we want to go ahead and interview now or repost it. How recently was it posted to you?
Now we're coming out with a new press release is coming the second. Desiree just sent me an email. It's either the first or second Monday or Tuesday in May.
Okay, so I think
we'll have it coming soon.
CAPS Commission.
Oh, for CAPS.
For CAPS.
Mm-hmm.
Until more.
I was gonna say we can't hold off on transportation.
No.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Do I need to make a motion for that or can we just? Okay.
Nope.
Great.
Motion to just try to get more, solicit more.
Yes. Yeah. And then for the Transportation Commission, I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at all of the applications. We have several.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were all pretty good. The only one that gave me pause was Chris Finley. I know Chris Finley because he was principal of Childs Elementary School. And so I was like, oh, great. He's our MCCSC person. I think he's amazing. He'd be so good on the commission. He lives outside of Bloomington City Limits.
So does Adam Hamel.
Oh, does he? I thought he lived, I didn't.
Stonebelt coordinator.
I guess I didn't pay close enough attention. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd read.
Yeah, so those are two people from really important organizations.
Make an exception.
I asked that question because it's almost like, you know how Title II says for employees of the city, how their residency requirement would be waived because their employment allows them to be on. I think that has to probably be amended by code. So yeah, I saw that because it's like, oh yes, MCCSC and you know the other one, and I'm just like, and when I saw where they live, just like, don't. So I don't think you can.
I think we can do it.
Mm-mm. Not unless change in code, and that's obviously
that's gonna take
take
a hot minute.
Well, so should we pick some to interview? So, we might also let MCCSC know that this is the
because when
we specifically are recommended to consider MCCSC.
I was and this Superintendent Winston encouraged Mr. Finley too.
Mm, I figured.
Yeah. Mr. Finley. He'll always be Mr. Finley to me.
He'll always be Chris to me. We were in the same middle school.
Yeah. So I can maybe reach out again and say they also are in city. It would be highly recommended.
Okay.
I did meet with Andrew Seymour and company last week because they were just asking a lot of questions about what they needed to do in terms of like getting the Transportation Commission off the ground. And I basically explained they don't really need to do anything. They're just waiting for appointments to be made. Mm-hmm. It does look like they're trying to hold a meeting. I think I saw it May 19th. And so I know you all, like, we're meeting right now, but then the other issue is I think your next regular session meeting is the 21st of May because you'll have one May 7th and then you'll have one May 21st,
mm-hmm.
which would be after that. And I think if there's no appointments that are made, they're going to have to nix the May 19th and wait until June, which it looks like June 16th is their tentative meeting. So I just wanted to let you all know.
For the May 14th deliberation session, I wonder if we could add it. If we get to interview people before then, if we can make an exception and add it to that agenda, we could ask Hopi.
Yeah.
Because I know they want to get going.
Yeah.
Do you want me to make a note? Do you want me to ask Hopi?
Yeah.
About putting it on May 15th.
To see if it's possible. I don't even know if we'll be able to interview them
before that.
Yeah.
But hopefully.
Because if you identify people to interview today, then I definitely for sure will go right away first thing tomorrow morning and really start hit the ground running and trying to schedule like speed interviews as well, much as possible.
When we can get together.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, I didn't see anybody to not interview on here.
The only one that I, because we're supposed to prefer people who use forms of travel other than personal motor vehicles. And most of them mentioned that, except Jordan Davis did not. Of course, we could ask him. The others all talked about that they bike or use the bus or whatever.
I think by the time I got down there, I must have been like, yep, everybody, yep.
It could be that someone would read that that's a requirement and then say it goes without saying that. I don't need to mention.
Right. We just don't know either way.
Yeah. Oh, I included him because he served on the parking commission. So I know
we have
that.
Three former parking commissioners.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we do.
This Wednesday before the meeting times actually are good because we know that we're committed to being close to City Hall by 6:15. So to do a time like this is good for me.
Okay. Yeah, that works for me. I mean, we'll just
bring rather have more time for dinner.
I was just going to say, I'll just bring some Cheez-Its or something to snack on.
In terms of being able to like make a long-term commitment, it's easier.
Yeah.
We know
Wednesday. Right, exactly.
That's true. That's true.
Well, so
that would be 1, 2, 3, 9.
Or well, 9. If we're including Jordan Davis in it.
Okay. That's a lot of people.
But
that's
taking out the other two. Right? Taking out Chris
and Adam.
Yeah, there are 11 applicants. We can't winnow it down any more than that.
And I'll reach out to Chris and Adam and let them know you don't qualify because of your where you live.
Yeah, it wasn't personal.
Yeah.
Would it? I like the individual interviews, but with the three parking commission members, would it make any sense to do them as a group interview? The former.
So, none of you want to rule anybody out?
I
didn't.
Grounds to feel good about doing that at this point.
Basically. Yeah, I didn't see any reason. I didn't see anybody who was stood out as not being up to it.
Yeah, it just felt arbitrary to me to say, I do.
Okay.
that's my thought.
Maybe we could do two group interviews.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, 9 would be too many in a group.
We'd be there for two or three I would be up for.
Someone might not be able to make it at any of the times, so.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
So we may get lucky. All right.
Selection.
Well, then I move that we invite Aoban Binder, Daniel Burnham, Norman Crampton, Jordan Davis, Brian Drummy, Jacob Emery, Barbara McKinney, Steve Volan, and Mark Stossberg to interview for the Transportation Commission.
Second.
Okay. And Daly?
Yes.
Peabon Smith?
Yes.
And Ruff?
Yes.
Okay. And other than that, go back to your spreadsheet. That's it.
So we might potentially look at next Wednesday at 5?
Mm-hmm. I'll that in and see if not next Wednesday, maybe the week after, because I know C also wanted to meet next week too. So let me check in with them and see, because I know they're, and also maybe I can get maybe Clerk Bolden to also assist me. So if we have two meetings going at the same time, we can knock it all out. So Team C can meet and you all can meet too and have your interviews going at the same time. So
Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I guess I should double check, but no, it's not that
bad. Yeah, only because we have students coming into town again within the next couple of weeks and graduation. So I was like, they didn't put me on anything weird, did they?
Mm-hmm. And who seconded the motion again?
I did.
Okay.
And we have a tornado watch.
What?
We do?
We
mm-hmm.
do.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tornado watch. It was issued.
Yeah, it's very nice when it came in.
Well, it was issued 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to run over to Blooming Foods before the tornado comes.
Sounds like a good idea.
So you're done if you just want to adjourn.
Oh, I adjourn.
Okay. 5:57.
Thank you.
You're very
welcome. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you,
colleagues.